Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 65, Reports from the Day. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by Weaver's Department Store for t-shirts, books, DVDs, any kind of Mayberry item you may not have gotten during Christmas from somebody else. Get it for yourself. Drop by Weaver's. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Two Chairs No Waiting. I'm your host, Alan Newsom. It's good to have you back with us again. I really appreciate you taking time to spend some time listening to me ramble on about the Andy Griffith Show, my favorite all-time show, which I'm sure anybody listening to this would have to guess that it must be something I really like or I wouldn't be doing a podcast about it, but I'm glad to have you with me. Tonight I wanted to talk about some reports from the day. I ran across a couple of things I was off during Christmas and had some time looking around for stuff, and I ran across some things that were newspaper or other kinds of ads and stuff from back when the Andy Griffith Show was actually on. So I thought these might be interesting for you to hear. And we're also going to be dropping by with Floyd. Floyd's over at the barbershop, and we're going to drop by. He said he had a story he wanted to tell us, and we got a little bit of listener feedback. So that's what's coming up, so I hope you'll stick around. Here's the first thing I wanted to tell you about. It was from the September 24th, the week of that. So it was 24th through the 30th, 1960 TV Guide. And here's the description from the Andy Griffith Show as it is a debut series from the fall preview issue of the 1960 TV Guide. The article under the section Monday, because that's when the show was going to be on, it came on Monday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time. It's called Veterans Try Their Hands at New Roles. That's probably, I don't know who else was starting shows, but veteran actors. Anyway, this is what it said about the Andy Griffith Show. The Andy Griffith Show, CBS, gives us a small town rube named Andy Griffith, a widower who, in his simple homespun way, craftily outwits the city slickers every turn. Every darn time. The test film was seen as the Danny Thomas segment last season. So you'll remember that from, we talked about the pilot episode on the Danny Thomas Show. Going back to the story, it says, Andy is a local sheriff, justice of the peace, newspaper editor, and spouter of homilies. Because he was a newspaper editor on the pilot. That was not what he was during the Andy Griffith Show itself. Andy, to a reluctant bride who balks at going on a honeymoon, you can't stay here and send Wilbur off on a honeymoon alone. That's like putting a pig in a sty and taking away the mud. Frances Bivier plays Andy's aunt, Ronnie Howard, his young son, Don Knotts is his deputy and cousin, and Eleanor Donahue as the pharmacist, as Andy's girl, in an antiseptic sort of way. It should debut on October 3rd. And hopefully it debuted better than my reading of this article, but you get the idea of it. So that was the TV Guide's take on the upcoming premiere of the Andy Griffith Show from September 1960. Now, the next thing I ran across, this was provided to me by Ellen Booth. She gave this to me back in 1998, and I ran across it this weekend. And I thought it was something you might like to see or hear. The next thing I want to tell you about, that was 1960, and then in 1965, I found a New York Times article from December 5th that's entitled Andy Griffith Show, Confession of a Country Boy by George Gent. Okay, George Gent is who wrote this story. So this is a little longer, and hopefully I can read it better than I read that last one, but here we go. It says, Andy Griffith is now in its sixth season, as Sheriff Andy Taylor on CBS's Andy Griffith Show, Mondays at 9 p.m. The series, a comedy about residents in a small North Carolina community named Mayberry, is already drawing residuals on a daily morning show on the same network. So it's when they started showing Andy of Mayberry. You may have seen those when you've watched some of the old videotapes from the Andy Griffith Show. They were actually called Andy of Mayberry. Well, that's what they're talking about here. The series' continued popularity is remarkable, because most critics were predicting that the show would not survive the loss of Don Knotts, Sheriff Taylor's overwrought assistant, who left after last season to pursue a movie career. Earlier, the series lost Jim Nabors to a spinoff of the show, Gomer Pyle USMC, one of the year's hottest programs. But in spite of the losses and the dire predictions of the critics, The Griffith Show has been in the top 10 all season and was in second place at last count. In an interview in his hotel during a publicity swing through the East, Griffith was asked to account for the program's durability. It was early morning by show business standards, and Griffith, who was dressed in a light sports shirt, slacks, and loafers, had not had his first cup of coffee. After offering some, he eased himself into a straight-back chair, clasped his hands behind his head, and with both feet resting on the coffee table, pushed back until his chair tilted on its rear legs. Country store style, he paused for a moment, his eyes veiled before answering. Quote, "I think it's because everyone on the show, have a real sense of community, of kindness towards one another," he said firmly. "The basic rule by which we live comes through on the program. Kindness comes through. The show also has a number of featured performers, each with a definite character we can ride around for any episode. But equally important is the character of Mayberry itself. We try to make it a real little community with its small problems, and those are the people put forth comedically." Griffith willingly conceded, few critics had expressed much enthusiasm for the show's cornball brand of humor. You noticed in the TV Guide story I read earlier, they didn't seem overly excited about it. He's quoting Andy here. He says, "We rarely appear in the ratings for the 30 major cities, but we do just great in towns of 50,000 or less," he observed. But even his generalization is open to question. While it is undoubtedly a small-town America that accounts for its high national ratings, the series recently appeared in the top 10 of 30 major cities as well. Nostalgia for disappearing way of life may explain some of this, but the paucity of even acceptable new comedies this season may be a more significant reason. The actor who says, "I get enormous satisfaction from my role as Andy Taylor," while admitting he would like to try other things, was asked if the critics were right in saying he was always performing the same role and that Andy Taylor was, in truth, Andy Griffith. Quoting Andy, it says, "No, that's not right," he said. "Andy Taylor contains the best part of myself. The best part. There are other parts of me that are never seen on screen, and I don't think that would be wise." So that's what Andy said. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting little bit of history, and if y'all suffered through my stumbling through words, because I think I messed up at least a few times, I really enjoyed that. But that was in the New York Times, December 5th, 1965. That's about all I got for that part. Now we're going to go and visit with our favorite barber over in Mayberry, Floyd Lawson. So, Floyd, you got something you want to talk to us about tonight? Bum, bum, bum.
Hey, hello there. Hey, yeah, well, they were asking me to tell a story or something this week. So, I was at church this past Sunday, and being the new year just started, I was thinking that maybe I should share my faith a little more boldly with some of my customers there at the barbershop. More than I'd done in the past anyway. Monday morning, when the sun had just come up, and I got out of bed, and I said to myself, I said, "Floyd, today you're going to witness to the first man who walks through the door." Yeah. Well, not long after I opened up the barbershop that morning, a man I didn't even know who he was. Yeah. He came in and said, "I'd like a shave this morning." That's what so I said, sure, just sit down here in the chair and I'll be right with you. Well, I was a little nervous about sharing, my beliefs with him. I think a lot of us are like that. Anyway, so I went in the back room there and I prayed a little prayer saying, "Dear Lord, the first customer came in and I'm going to witness to it. Yes. So please give me wisdom so I'll know the right things to say to him. Amen. Well, so, I was still a little nervous. So for some more confidence, I picked up my Bible there and I put it in my left hand. And then I got the razor, got the straight razor in my right hand. I headed out there into the front to give that fella a shave and witness to him. And so I walked out there, and he was sitting there in the chair. And I said, he saw me. I had the Bible and that straight razor. And I said, good morning, sir. Now I have a question for you. Are you ready to die? I've never seen a person get out of the chair so quickly and out the door. It was amazing. I guess he just wasn't interested in talking about religion. We'll talk to y'all next time. Bye. Bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum. Okay. All right. Thank you, Floyd. That was enlightening, to say the least. I'm sure, having that razor in your hand and asking somebody if you want to die, that may not be your best, Christian witness. You might want to rethink that. So anyway, thanks for visiting with us. Folks, we got a little bit of feedback I want to run through. If you'll remember the Christmas episode I did, it's called A Mayberry Christmas, podcast episode number 63. We were talking about Joe Gritton there at the end when we played the night before Christmas. And Joe wrote in and he's had this to say. He said, I heard you say that crazy mulberry squeezing induced call was from me, Joe Gritton, the untrained voice. But I sure didn't hear the caller say that. I believe Sarah got it a little mixed up when she connected that call to you. That's a nice rendition that person gave. A real raw talent there, but I'd say he's 5 years from performing level. Anyway, he also went on to say, I believe that form of altered speech is called spoonerisms rather than mispronunciations. Hey, Joe was right. I looked it up, and he was exactly right. Spoonerisms is what those are called when you mispronounce words or get them backwards. When you say they're playing up at Penn State, that kind of thing. So thanks, Joe. And you're right, Joe. There was no identification in that voicemail. So there's complete plausible deniability there. So thanks for writing in and clearing that up for us. Had another email about that from Austin, that same episode. And he said, that reading of The Night Before Christmas was hilarious. I've never laughed so hard because of a podcast. So he says, thanks for the podcast. So thanks for writing in, Austin. I really appreciate that. Got a last email feedback we got right here is from Janet Anderson. She's talking about the new Andy Griffith Show, which was podcast episode number 64. She says, Alan, that was very interesting. I don't even recall watching the new Andy Griffith Show when I was a kid, but I can't imagine that my family wouldn't have turned it on. Perhaps my inability to remember the show is a result of its very brief run and the fact that it didn't go into reruns. So I'm glad that you chose to talk about it on the podcast. So thanks, Janet. She said, sounds like Andy was trying to recapture some of the magic of Mayberry with this show. Too bad it failed. But how blessed we are that the real Mayberry is still going strong after all these years, both on TV and on DVDs. Amen. That's exactly right. So, folks, that's all I've got for you tonight. I want to thank you for the folks that emailed in, and I'd love for you to call in. I'd love to be able to use your voice instead of talking funny like when I was reading Joe's. So just call me at 888-684-8415. You can give me a call and leave me a voicemail. I'd love to hear your voice. But you can email me at floyd@mayberry.com, or you can drop by and leave a note at the podcast website at mayberry.com/podcast. While we're talking about the website, mayberry.com/podcast, I have added several things there that you might be interested in. I don't know. There is now a chat room there on the front page. If you go to the front page and scroll down a little bit, you'll see it there on the right of the page, and people can chat with each other or you can just leave messages there, and the next person that comes in can leave a message. You can have it set so that it will email you and let you know. I believe that if you leave notes there, you can sign up so that it will send you a note if somebody leaves another comment there. Anyway, I'm trying different ways to let you, the community that listens to this podcast, be able to interact with each other and with me, because you know, I think it's very important, and it's a lot of fun, really, to get to know you guys and to be a part of just this Mayberry fun that we have. So I hope you'll take time to drop by there and check it out. And I've also added a link there for Twitter. If any of you guys have Twitter accounts, you can drop by and follow me on Twitter, and we'll be able to talk a little more there. We're already on Facebook and stuff, but Twitter is just another avenue. I'm just trying any way I can to be able to get in touch with you guys and just have a little bit of fun. So, all right, well, that's all I've got, and that's way too much probably. So hopefully y'all aren't bored, and we'll see you guys next week on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Bye.